Monster Podcast, episode 24, with Paul and Barry.
Hello!
And today, this afternoon, this sunny day.
It is 20 past one on a Friday afternoon.
Yeah, very nice.
8th of July.
Very sunny.
Lovely.
And we're talking about the Bunker War Master 2, Come Down. So now we've finished, now we've got to debrief. Debrief and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we played a game today. We played an orc challenge. So it's my turn to man up and play the orcsies.
Yep. Barry's suggestion. It wasn't mine. We had this challenge going where if the winner, basically, if you win a game, or a competitive game using orcs and goblins, the loser is paying for a beers on a night out.
Yeah. So Paul went last, and I used my high elves and won.
Yes. It wasn't total whitewash, but I did lose.
And then the ball's in my court, and so today I decided to throw down the challenge.
Yeah.
He knew in advance. I'm not just going to spring it on him on the day. But he's playing skate.
Yeah, that's not fair. That's not competitive.
So he brought his tournament dwarf list, which is good.
Yeah. I'm pretty happy with this as a tournament dwarf
list. And so we had a game with that, and so we'll get onto that in a minute. But what's the week in wargaming, Paul? What have you been up to, man?
Well,
apart from bad-mouthing Age of Sigmar.
Oh, it didn't take us long to get to the controversy.
I haven't even looked into it yet or seen it, but yeah.
Okay, so
Paul's been a bad man.
All right, so at our gaming club, I've been told off by the president because apparently I said something nasty about
disparaging
about Age of Sigmar, which is true. I probably would say such a thing, but I don't remember what I said, or who I said it to, or whether it was even directed to anyone in particular and was just overheard. Anyway, there you go. Wrists were slapped.
Freedom of speech was curtailed.
The ironic thing was, is because there was a mini 40k like quick event organised by George, and I actually commented to Sharon. I said, "Oh, it's look at that, 40k's been played. Is that a good thing to see?" And like these guys, like so a lot of them are newer players and younger players playing this 40k on like their little 4x4 tables. And I was like, I actually said something positive, and yet I'm getting told off for being negative.
Negative Paul.
It's like at work when I get in trouble for like stuff agency nurses have or haven't done, and it's like, well, I'm not in charge of their patients, am I, nurse in charge? Like, I'm in charge of my patients, and yet I get told off.
Learn to take your tellings off.
Yeah.
So freedom of speech is dead, unfortunately.
Yes, exactly.
Unfortunately.
Yeah,
and the right to take offence.
You have the right to take offence.
You have the right to be offended, sir.
Yeah.
Carry on being offended. Mm-hmm. Right. What else have you been up to apart from you've been playing some Mark 3?
Yes.
Total cheesemonger.
Yes, I will just pull up my diary.
So did you spend some time looking through the cards and deciding who to play, or did you say, what's the most bent crap that everybody's raging about?
Well,
play the most bent crap.
This is the thing, is okay, so Mark 3 is out and about, and I listened to a Chain Attack podcast for War Machine, and I found it to be the one that I like most for War Machine anyway. So Sigmar have changed, but not changed very much. They're still doing the same stuff.
But better.
And I was like, right, okay, I'll start off with Sloane, because she was genuinely the first Warcaster I played in Mark 2.
Because she has a habit of shooting and running away,
which is very me. And and sadly, she's gotten good. It's not my fault. Your hands are tied. Anyway, since our last Saturday when we were, you'll be hearing about our bunker, which I guess they're going to hear that before or after this.
Oh, it'll all come after, I guess.
Okay, so after. I played Eric at War Machine, so I used Sloane. This because I've got an event on Saturday, a one list full Steam event. So I'm using this Sloane list against Eric, and it was against the evil tree that is Wormwood. The Warcaster is a tree. I love it. It's like, that's fantastic. Anyway, when that 14-inch forest comes down, you don't shoot much.
You don't shoot anything.
It didn't really work. But never mind. But that was that was particularly strong.
I played that same list.
Yeah, and then I also played at the club. The same day, I played Dan Harnwood and his trolls, and again, he used Madrak 2. And the thing about when you play War Machine is it's all about the second game, because the first game I clocked Madrak's like overtaking feat, like chain of destruction he could do, and I actually said it out loud. I said, aha, can't let you have that, can I?
Can't,
so my commander
moved 20
here,
inches from
yeah,
out,
like,
yeah.
And I was like, right, and I was like, I'm not going to let that happen. You're not going to get a chain to my Warcaster. And then I moved some precursors up and gave him a complete chain to my Warcaster. I was like, I didn't even listen to the thing I just said 5 seconds ago, and that game was literally over in 10 minutes or something. And so we're like, well, what should we do? Because I like to play Dan and, you know, chance to play. So let's play again. And we played, rolled a different scenario, one that wasn't Killbox, so I could hang a lot further back. And basically...
A lot further back. I saw the game a lot. Like, in your deployment zone.
Yeah, well, why go that far forward? You know, like, when I can shoot this gun 16 inches, like... That,
and then move back.
That dictates how far forward I should be. But Madrick's got a sacrificing off just being hit. He can, like, hits another troll, infinite cap. So it's like, so that you have to kill every single troll in that list until he's got no trolls left. He's very bad for his people, Madrack too. Like, you don't hang around him. He's like hang around him Sharp in like the like TV series. You'll die if you hang around Sharp.
Especially the Irish guy.
Yeah, but he's the only one. Right? He's got the luck of the Irish. So anyway, I had to kill Dan's entire list, and I did it with 5 minutes left and won the game.
Hooray! Mm-hmm. Anything else you played?
No, that's just the War Machine, and then...
You haven't bought anything or anything?
Just got some stuff for PP points with you.
No,
I haven't bought anything. In fact, Rodders bought my Kador off me. So he made a deal, came out and said, oh, I'll take your Kador, because I hadn't advertised I was selling it. And because the thing is, so there's a lot of stuff in there that any Kador player might well have. So I was like, I kind of need to shift it all. Like, it's two lists I wrote in Mark.
Yeah.
Or not at all, really, because a piecemeal will leave me with nothing. And I cut a very good deal with Rodders. He took it for 150. And because there was some things that he already owned, but he was being nice and taking it all for one cost. Yeah. Take off my hands. So that was good. So I'm now just going to be playing Signar in War Machine and occasionally Mercs when some theme lists come up that I want to try of Mercs. Because right now, there ain't no theme lists, and... the theme list were the thing that I was playing in Mercs, so yeah, wait and see. But there's plenty more Signar guns to fire with. I've seen a very good Darius list. I'm going to try.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Excellent. I played in the tournament.
Yep.
Mustn't forget that. Yep. That was good. And I played two games with Eric. I actually played some Mark III now. I played a Mark III game with Legion. Mm-hmm. And Legion do what Legion did, so there's no real change. I used like a really basic Pelelith list.
Yeah.
And
well, truly, none of the War Machine factions have changed, as in, that dramatically. Some have gotten better at what they do, but they haven't, like... It's not like a Legion playstyle is suddenly very different.
No. So, he knew I was going to try and assassinate him. Yep. I did assassinate him.
Yeah.
So, happy days.
Have that.
It was with my last roll.
Do you like them apples?
How do you like them? I'm also trading into the worst faction, because everybody's bitching about Scorn. So, I'm trading all my Cricks out for some Scorn.
Fair enough.
Good. Because if they're crap, I want to play them.
Yeah, I must remember to pick up that Centurion and Grenadier off you at the end of this.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Right. And then I played Eric again.
Yes.
And this time he thought I was going to bring Legion, so he brought the tree.
The tree! The evil tree!
But I decided I was going to play Menoth, because I haven't used them. Yeah. And I've never heard people say they're great. Yeah. They're just like middle of the roadie. And I got sucker punched with not knowing my own rules and not knowing how quick my stuff was.
Yeah.
So I gave away Killbox. I didn't move forward, and 2 points in the middle, and then I nearly beat him because I killed virtually everything, but he managed to score a point in the end. Well done, Eric, bastard. But Menoth are really slow. I don't think you've ever played them.
They need a Pathfinder, don't they? So that's why you need.
But they're really slow, even with God damn, they're slow.
Well, they weren't ever fast.
Yeah. But you don't realise the difference between speed 5 jacks and speed 6 jacks and speed 4 jacks.
How many of the heavies are speed 4?
The most of them. I took 4 speed 4.
Ooh!
God, they were slow.
Oh, imagine if you come up against a telekinesis.
Well, no, because he had the wood out.
Yeah.
So I was running 4 inches. I literally couldn't get in. I was like, God damn this!
Let me in!
Running 4 inches.
I can't get to the evil tree.
I can't get to the control box in the middle of the score zone in the middle.
Yeah.
So that was good. What else have I been doing? Oh, the books arrived on Monday morning.
Yeah. The event was Saturday, and the books that we wanted to give out came on Monday.
Morning. First thing. Like 9 o'clock. Ding dong. And they're pretty good as well.
Yeah, they are very nice.
But there wasn't the money in the prize.
Yeah, so the prize support, basically, I took 50 quid of private support after the tickets and food, etc., etc. I paid for a half. Yeah, it was in. I paid half of what it was worth voucher from Eureka, which I think was a really good thing to do. And the books didn't quite stretch to cover the books as well. So what we're going to do is we'll probably hold these books and give them out at the next. Because otherwise we're paying postage that money we haven't got, etc. As in, it cost us more.
Yeah, well, you're already 25 quid down on
books. Exactly. So
you might need the next event to even cover
that. Yeah. So that's probably what we'll do. And what it is the rules with the erratas.
Okay.
It's very nice. It's very nice. Yeah, very nice. Well,
yeah, good. Right. Game today. Do you want to do the game today, and then we'll do the game today.
Okay. Right, so,
what's your tournament list? Your money list?
Yeah, because I went, you're the focus.
Okay, I'm the focus. I went off, skewed off, as you
so
would.
You saw all these options, and you thought none of them.
None of this. Right. So I took minimum orc warriors, which is 4. Minimum goblins, which is 4. Plan being, do not expose these to Paul because these are chaff. Even the orcs are chaff compared to. Your warriors.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
you're 3-4-4.
Yeah.
And I'm 4-3-6. It ain't gonna last. I took 8 boar boys. Oh my god.
Yeah, that's
two giants. And then we had a general hero, 2 shamans of each type, so that's 4 shamans, and a goblin hero and a wyvern with a sword. That's
You can put a goblin on a wyvern.
Yeah, you can put a goblin wizard on. So I had 18 units, 9 break, 2,000 points, and I had 10 combat units, which is 8 boar boys and 2 giants.
If you could get them there.
Yes. And the 4 wizards. So yeah. I was quite confident that if I could get him out in the open, I would smash it.
I thought it was a good list. It's a very un-me list.
Very skewed list.
But that is a good list. Yeah.
Okay, and your list, sir?
So I went, my tournament dwarves, and I'm pretty happy with this as a dwarf list. I know there's some discussion over whether you should have gyrocopters or not, but I say you do. Because I'm right.
But did they survive today?
Well, no, but they did a job. I took 6 warriors, 1 handgunner unit, 3 rangers, 2 troll slayers, 2 cannons, a flame cannon, 2 gyrocopters, a general, a hero with a sword of fate, because it's 5 points, who cares, a runesmith with an anvil.
Anvil's good.
17 units, breakpoint 9, and I'll put scouts as 6, because that'll be 2 gyrocopters doing that. Now, I've played dwarves the most, and I'm very happy with what they do, and it's nice to use a painted army, etc. This is the list I wrote to give to one of our club guys who hadn't played Warmaster before at the event, and I painted another unit of rangers because I had 2 and I wanted 3. And basically, it's built around 3 brigades, 3 combat brigades, where you put 2 units of warriors and a unit of rangers and a troll slayer. That's repeated twice because the other unit can't have the troll slayer, sadly. But then you have a 4th brigade, the shooting brigade, which is the 2 cannons, a flame cannon to protect it, and the rangers, handgunners to also protect it. So you've got 4. You start off the table with 4 moving parts and 2 individual parts of the gyrocopters, and you rely on the command 10 general, which ain't better. Who was better than that? Basically, there aren't a lot of heroes, but you don't need a lot of heroes. There are a lot of characters. I'm really happy with the way it does. So you could say. You might play around with some things to try and find, say, 3 troll slayers and 2 rangers, etc. But you can't, if you want to keep the artillery and the gyrocopters, you can't make 3 complete full brigades.
I don't like those brigades without rangers because.
A tournament army has got to be take on anything, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And the rangers are key in a dwarf army. In this list, they're like against you. Well, if he gets all 8 of those balls in my face, like directly front to front, only the rangers can chase them. So it's important. It's well played. It's well practiced list.
Yeah. Good. Good. So the tail of the game was I lost my scouting roll. I had 3. Mm-hmm. So I set up my little gobbos and my orcs near a wood, right, and my deployment, and I set everything else up on the right to do a massive flanking manoeuvre, knowing that he'd want to go and eat the juicy gobbos.
Yes, exactly.
And set all my stuff up to do a massive sweeping charge. Yeah.
Opposite that, I had to ask Barry to set up the scenery, because when I looked at the list, I was like, I can't set up the scenery because woods will be very key for me. So opposite that, I put 1 of my combat brigades with troll slayers to match off against his overpowered flank, and the aim to run them, get them into a wood and slow him down. That would slow Barry down because orcs have terrible command. He's done nothing to improve it. He hasn't got an item that improves
it. No.
So while I would attack his left, so my right, go into and try to catch all 8 of those orc and goblin units, which he would probably be defensive with, but I would be aggressive with.
And the reason I did this wide flank was I was worried about the cannons.
Of course.
Because normally you just throw the boar boys down the middle, but the cannons will just eat them.
Yeah, they'll chew up
a unit at a turn. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that was what I was going to try and do, and it generally worked. In fact, but it was touch and go. I mean,
So is it 9-7?
It was 9-7 to you at the end. But it was, and the early running was you, actually, I think. Definitely. So I was thinking,
but that was down to Geroff's. Geroff's are like the single, even with. with your anvil. You just stay out of 15, start blasting things.
My general didn't perform amazingly with orders the first bit of the game. He didn't manage to get that brigade into it. He managed to get a troll slayer unit off to dash up there, and I had to use the gyrocopters to slow down your command, and which they did. It made it hard, and you had to turn units around to attack them. But equally, they then got caught and killed. I'd rather they lived longer, personally. I basically got a turn of delay from my gyrocopters. But it was also, it wasn't just the affecting command. It was turning, Barry's going to have to break boar units off coming forward to go flank and even behind to come and catch these gyrocopters.
Yeah, and without, I only had one orc hero and a general. And without that orc hero, when I did get to your side and start eating stuff, I had no command with it.
Yeah.
And yeah, you just stayed out of initiative, and they were just stranded.
Yeah,
which is a bit sad for them.
But I managed basically when he attacked my brigade. When he got some cavalry into my brigade, it went really well. That combat for Barry, he managed to confuse with a Geroth the dwarves, so one unit couldn't support, and he isolated two units and took them. And I didn't. I kept not getting any wounds, so he took two units for nothing. But I managed to hold it back by my cannons then shooting one unit, confusing it, and actually pushing another unit into my own stuff, which confused that. That was good. That was a good move. But the cannons were out of the early game because they'd been Geroffed.
Yeah, and then they managed to get the decisive point in the end because you needed 9 and the cannons provided 1.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, because I was pissing around on the right-hand side, and I was doing a reasonable amount of work, and if the game had gone a lot longer, I'd have won on the right hand side eventually.
Oh yeah, of course.
But the problem was on the left hand side, the orcs and the goblins all got eaten.
Yeah, so I'd sent 2 brigades against Barry's orc brigade and goblin brigade, and the orcs stood out like orcs do, like out of the wood, and took a charge, and there was a big old combat, and the orcs went down after taking the troll slayers, and then the goblins in the woods I got some rangers advance move into the whole initiative for the next time in their flank, but Barry managed to pass the order and save the brigade from a quick death.
Well, for a turn.
But he split then into two, an L shape of two of one support unit supporting each other. And actually one of my attacks bounced off one of those of those L's. Of the L sides, but it was always going to go my way because goblins are shite.
It's true when compared to dwarves. That's true. So it was a bit sad that he managed to eat like almost all my break from those 8 units. So that's 360 points, and then 110 for the four boys.
I might have expected when I got those rangers in, it's like, okay, so they can initiative charge in the flank if you don't move these goblins, and you pass the order. I was expecting almost like initiative fate. I was expecting you to run the goblins away, like to the base, the back, the table edge.
I don't know if you could have maybe done that.
Yeah, is it just run them away? Just back off.
But if you run the because there's only the front line can initiative evade, and when they burst through, the next one.
Yeah, it's all problems. But so you might have gone for the order when you pass the order instead of making a stand in the wood. I'd have legged it.
I thought the wood was the safest place to be for them, to be fair. My giants did literally nothing, and they tied
game.
Both ran away. Both did nothing. I think one of them threw a tree branch at a gyrocopter. That's it.
one of the giants started off by like turning around and walking away from me. And then just stood at the edge of the table, then picking his nose for the next turn.
<That's> brilliant.
And then the third turn, he turned around and instead of a charging the gyrocopter, threw a tree at it. It's like, ow.
And out of the 8 units of boar boys, I think I managed to actually get 3 of them into combat. Most of my meat didn't see any action. They'll be picking their teeth tonight, wondering what happened, went wrong.
If you'd have put 2 boars over screening the goblins, like for them to, that might have been harder. Like instead of having 6, like instead of having 8 on one flank, have 6 and 2 over here. You have characters to try it. I mean, like
Oh, it was an interesting. It was. I swung.
Two games.
I went big.
Yeah.
Windmill punches.
I think it's like when the luck was with you early on. It was like, oh, here we go. But you got to have some luck with orcs and goblins. It's like you didn't have a turn where your general didn't do anything. Like you did, you had a lot. Yeah, so yeah, it was good to begin with. It was a good game, and it was tight. Like that's a good dwarf list. I've played dwarves a lot.
It was good. I liked it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about the helicopters, though. Gyrocopters.
I like gyrocopters. I know you might not have them, but you could,
I don't know where I'd replace them with, to be fair.
No, you could put another unit of Troll Slayers in to make the three combat brigades all have Troll Slayers.
How much are crossbowmen? You've got crossbowmen?
90 are handgunners. You can't.
Well, you've exactly got anything less than handgunners, like crossbowmen or something?
That is the cheapest unit. Handgunners is 90.
Jeez.
Yeah.
God. Expensive, aren't they?
So you could trade out the two gyrocopters for another flame cannon. Where does it go, though? And a unit of Troll Slayers. That's the only change you can make, I think.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe you don't have the handgunners. Maybe then the brigade of four.
But then we're going down your lists where I like to have something in everything.
Yeah, something in everything. Yeah. Well, next time, Paul, your choice.
I will give. It won't be the next.
No, because we've got to undo demons next.
I will give Barry fair notice warning that I will come at him with another orc and goblin list.
I'll be using some meaty.
I've picked up a few other orcs and goblins, so I won't proxy anything. I will come at you with what I have, but it isn't, you know, like I did last time. So.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we did the event of the weekend. Do you want to talk about how it went? I know there's going to be some stuff coming.
Yes. Yeah, so we chatted, but you know, you're here like at the time recordings, but we'll give the overview right now. And I think it went really well.
Yeah. 16
players was fantastic. And I was saying to Barry on the way back, it's like, well, it can't really grow beyond that because most of the players, as a demographic, have kids. Most of the players that are like, and so they can get a Saturday day off away from like responsibility, but they can't get 2 days. You know, like, and they're not free, probably not free in the evening as a cross. So I mean, 16 players deserves 4 rounds. It was a shame that the winner, like Alex Janeway, had won on strength of schedule. We didn't play that final,
he
which would have been you. What?
He won on victory points.
Victory points, yeah, but I mean, overall, like, another game was warranted.
Yes, another game was warranted. It will always be warranted.
Yeah, which, and I'd like to see you play him with those exact lists just to see what happened. Like, yeah, but because just to be interested,
the chump hole. Yeah,
but it can't happen though. Like with the time we're setting, and most games didn't finish on the clock, but some did. So we can't like have less time. We need that amount of time, 2.5 hours around. It fits the day quite nicely of when's the shops open and what it costs.
Yeah.
Unless you push the fourth game well into the night.
So is there a chance you could do it at the bunker or something and get a long let on the bunker?
Theoretically, yes.
To try and get
4. So we could try for that, but if you get 15 players or below, you might not need the fourth round.
Yeah.
When you get 16, you do. You have to have the fourth round.
Officially, you need the fourth round above 8.
Well, yeah, I know, but like sometimes results mean you don't actually have to.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because they say like, well, it's probably grown as far as it can go. It's fantastic.
I'll tell you what. Another thing you could do is like have smaller point games and play them quicker.
True, but then it's not War Master in my head.
1500 was all right. Less cannons.
More
Stegadons.
It's one to put out, I guess, to the group of players that played in it. Give them a choice, because I did ask for feedback afterwards. And basically, we're pushing all boundaries at the moment. Like, it's fun to say. Like, and what was really nice with those 16 players is there was 8 tables provided by the players, myself included, and you, which was meant all the scenery was to scale. There was no like, oh, we're going to have to use this 40k table and kind of make it work because we haven't got any scale scenery. I really liked that. That was brilliant. And some of the tables were lovely. Like Nick especially brought 2 tables, which were lovely. He's done a new one, an Empire one, which looks great. So brilliant. I mean, like that's, I mean, 60, that's a scene. And there were other people I know who would play, who couldn't play that day. So it's not like that's 16 and pushing it. Two from our club who had really never played the game before and had come along as a favour, but they both enjoyed it and they both play again, so that's only a good thing. Because what I lent them, both 2 of my armies, this dwarf list we're talking about right now and Dogs of War, so I want to paint up 2,000 points worth of several different more choices, not only for me to use but also to be able to lend out, because War Master armies being small models stuck on a base, there's not a lot of breakable things on them, so I'm much more use them. I mean, you can't, like, they're not like big piece models that will fall apart. They're like little stands of guys. They're quite robust. So I want to be able to offer that.
Okay. I think Death Clock worked. Positive to the Death Clock. I think we might need to find a way of doing something different to get a fourth game in, or doing something on the tie break.
I would have, like, that was the only, I say, the drawback to it was that
Because like, he did get really close. You'll see, not even just for first base, but like loads of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we need that fourth. Like, if you're going to get 16 players, you do need that shake up. And it's lots of things to consider. Like, at the moment, maybe we change venue and have it go longer, or we reduce the points to allow fourth player. I don't know.
We'll have to see. 6 o'clock cutoff is like. That's just arbitrary for 40k.
Yes,
because most people, if they're going to get a Saturday off, they can get the whole Saturday off.
And Andy's really good, like the guy who runs 40k, at being quite casual. He didn't like have to throw us out at 6 o'clock. We actually left at 6:30.
Yeah, he was good.
And he's quite casually letting us do that. Well, that's great, and he didn't like. So that's really appreciated. That makes you want to carry on giving him business.
Yeah.
Anyway, the next one of this would be around the January February time, because the Triwizard one is in November.
Yeah.
So a few months after that.
And there may even be some amendments to some army lists by that point.
I could indeed. 2017 could see a change in the scene.
A little bit. Right, so I'm going to stop this now, and then we're going to play all the segues that I managed to record. I didn't manage to get them between every round because, for example,
we had to go straight into the next game. Right, round 2 to 3 was immediate.
Yeah, that's because I won with 54 seconds. So I had to finish my game and then go straight in. Mm-hmm. There was no recording there. I'll play the four segues of what we've got now, and then we'll come back and talk a bit more. All right, so we're in the car on the way. The time's at 8:30 on Saturday the 2nd, going to Bunker Warmaster 2 with Paul and Phil and Christoph.
Yeah, hello everybody. So this is just us on the way to the event. Looks like I've got 16 tickets sold, so it should be quite a laugh.
Yeah, I'm feeling a bit rough this morning because I went out last night to watch the Wales match and discovered I'm a quarter Welsh. My granddad was born in Fishguard, so I'm now claiming to be Welsh. So I got drunk with the Welsh. It's a fantastic result for the Welsh, though. I mean, Christoph's Belgian, so sorry, Christoph.
Just rub it in a bit more, hey, Barry.
It could have been worse. It could have been Iceland.
Like, the guy stayed with me, and like we watched it last night, and it was like, okay.
It's like, you're the jinx, you're the Jonah, Paul.
I'm the Jonah. I better have a car.
That's it, but what a result by Wales. They've now equaled England's best ever finish, which is a semi-final.
Yeah.
Could be in the final. Well done, Wales.
Yeah. So anyway, to today, the actual Warmaster event, it should be pretty fantastic. I'm looking forward to this, but we'll try to record a few things during the day if we can. If not, we'll just bolt this on to the start of next episode when we're chatting about the event.
Yeah.
Okay.
A minor downer is that the books are in transit, so the books we were going to give out.
We intended to give out rule books that we'd designed.
Limited design. I just stole them. Printed them.
But sadly, mails let us down. But if they did turn, I don't know. So we're probably going to try and hand them out after the event. Oh well, can't do anything. I've got all the other stuff.
Yeah.
See you soon.
Right, first of all, I've got to do roll call just to check that everyone who's paying is here and we're not waiting for anybody. So if I read out your name, so like, can you just put, say, you're here and what army you're losing?
Because I'll track that.
So, in no particular order, Andrew Soames?
Yeah,
Norse.
You're going to do the woof.
Of course, play.
Don't get started.
Jim Beach.
Kislev.
Christoph Simmons. Orcs and Goblins, isn't it? Yeah. Stuart Clark.
Yeah, Albion.
Albion. Alex Janeway.
Witch Hunters.
Witch Hunters. You're defending champion, by the way.
I believe so.
There'll be some filth involved.
George Bellwood.
Yeah,
Dwarves. Yep. Jeffrey Pennington.
Yeah, Goblins.
Shane Streeting.
Orcs and Goblins.
Orcs and Goblins. Anthony Hale.
Yep, Lizards.
Lizards. Justin Curtis.
Yep. Orcs and Goblins.
Orcs and Goblins.
Well, they're the crowd's favourite.
Orcs and Goblins.
Marry Pittman.
Filthy Isles.
Isles.
Force of Numbers.
Time's running out.
Shane Davies.
Filthy Dark Elves.
Dark Elves. Graham J. I don't know, what's your last name, Graham?
Johnson,
isn't it? Yeah. What you're using my. Yeah.
Dogs of War.
Well,
I suppose the lizards, I mean the frogs.
For example. Nick Wakely, Tomb Kings. Phil Ilves,
Tonians. God wills it.
And Tom Donohoe.
You were with High Elves.
High Elves.
Good for you, sir.
Is there anybody I haven't mentioned? I think it's everybody, isn't it? Right, good. We'll get going. But first of all, hello, I'm Paul, and that's Barry, and we're Warmaster Podcast. And thanks very much for turning up, etc. It's great to see that 8 tables are donated by Scenery. So that's brilliant, really. So what I need to do is I'll run through how the tournament's going to work, and then I'll set you off, etc., and we'll just crack on. So in no particular order. First of all, this bits box here is open to anybody. If you want to put something in the Bix box or take something from the Bix box, you're welcome. That's an open resource there, because I forgot to mention that last time. And what the format of today is going to be is three rounds, and then that'll be the end. The hard time of this is 6 o'clock for shop start. So if we finish early, we finish early, but we can't go later than six. That's why one of the big reasons also we're on clocks here. There'll be first, second, and third prize, and then there'll be both best donated table and best painted. So the prizes for table and painted is in amongst these models here, which I'll work out. But the first, second, and third is that's for first prize there. So we're sponsored by KR, so you get the nicest KR case. You also get this check for $100 to Eureka, isn't it?
Eureka. Yep.
Eureka. Yeah. Basically, I went for prize support with a lot of companies, and this was the Australian guys who do the Alternative Lisbon Army, and they're like, because the postage is a bit of money, there had to be a cheque worth winning, so that's why it's 100. You also get gold dice, and you get this. Okay, so Alex Janeway there is the defending champion, so the winner would take the trophy away. Now, if you're happy to engrave it yourself, it's appreciated. If you don't want to do that, obviously it'll stay with me, and I'll do the engraving. That's first prize. Second prize is this lesser KR case and silver dice, and I'll throw in models as well as I work it out. And third prize is this smaller case with like shitty dice and more models as well. And as that's the prize we're going for. So that's quite a check. That's quite a thing worth doing. Okay. Now with 16 players, there should be four rounds. There can't be because we haven't got the strength at the time. So it's very important that you understand what strength of schedule is, because that will decide the winner. Okay, basically, you're going to need to win all three of your games, and then the strength of schedule is how well your opponents have done, overall in the tournament. So their three results added together gives you a score, and if that score is higher than the next person, that puts you higher in strength of schedule. So, sadly, we won't, it would be great to have a fourth round to have that absolute one winner in a 16-player event, but just simply isn't the time, I'm afraid. It's not the best thing there is, but it's the only fair way, to be honest, because it settles levels. So then if you're tied, so say Barry won all three of his game and he got 12 points, and he played Jim, Alex and George, who got, Jeff, who got 2, 4 and 3 points. So add that all up together, that's his strength of schedule score against another person who had got 12 points. Understood? Yeah?
Yeah, so basically... Yeah, the better your opponents do, the better you'll do overall. And if you play rubbish opponents, points-wise, then your strength of schedule won't be very good.
The first round is a random draw. The second and third round are Swiss. So your winners all play winners. So that should shunt it up.
Yeah.
The next decider to a strength of schedule, if there's a tie on that, is how many points you've lost. As in, if you've lost less points in over your three games, it's better than if you've lost more. And then there really shouldn't be a need for a fourth. But I'll have to. Yeah.
That's different. Last time you did points killed.
Points killed. Yeah, sorry.
Not points.
You didn't. It shouldn't really matter, isn't it? Well,
because it kind of rewards more aggressive.
Yeah, we're reward. Yeah, we'll go with rewarding aggressive. But that's only to settle.
Yeah. So how many points you destroy of the opponent?
That should be significant.
I'm just saying, it's great to see so many numbers, but there has to be some way of setting out.
Clock.
Right. So, explain the clock. Assume, though, you have an hour and 15 minutes each to play your games. Okay? When the round starts, pressing that there will start this player's turn. Okay? When he's done his turn, he flips the clock and it goes to the other side and starts counting down that.
okay? And that continues. That starts on deployment as well. So once you've rolled off, like once you've shaken out and explained your armies to each other, so like what you're using, you're ready to deploy, and you've done that scouting role, which I'll go through in a moment, that's when the clock starts, okay? The only time the clock ends is if you have a rules question, so judge me the rules question, I come over, I stop the clock, I answer the rules question, and then once the rule, then that's the decision made, and the clock continues, okay? So there's three ways to lose in this game system now. There's obviously losing your general, having half your army broken, or running out of time. Okay? The reason we use the clocks is because lunch, for example, is warm food today. So he has to know when it needs to be ready for. And also, it forces results. There can't be a draw in these rounds. Okay? Because one of you is going to end run out of time sooner or later if you haven't won already. But we found that an hour and a quarter of each time each is a lot of time to play a game of war. We found.
Well, you found. I find it's difficult sometimes, but that's it. It's the same for me as everybody. Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. It's like it's the. It's I really like the system. So the clocks. So does anyone not understand the clocks? No. I say only once the round starts. The only person who can pause the clock is me, the judge. Okay. Simple. Rules-wise, so it is the Rule Master rulebook, as we all know, with the erratas. Is anyone not familiar with the Saffron Walden erratas that we use? Well, I'll explain them right now, very simple. Okay, so support. You count support before removing casualties. So if combat is won, units not in contact with the enemy but withstands in support of the combat may still stand the ground or fall back. However, they cannot go forward of an imaginary line across the main line of combat, and they're eligible to reform at the end of the combat phase. So basically, once you've worked out a combat, you don't remove, you count the support before you remove any models. Okay? And if you've got units supporting, the front of the combat is 3 centimetres ahead, because a base is 2 centimetres long. So basically, if a combat pushes 2 centimetres, support can go with it. And then the new line is where it is. So basically, what I'm saying is, if you have a fight that you've won by 3 or more, you've pushed the enemy back 3, your support can't go with you, because it's forward of that line. Understood?
Yeah. Sorry, I got it. So does the support actually move up, or do you just?
It will do if it will do, or you have the choice for it to do so. If you've combat, so you've only pushed the enemy back 1 or 2 centimetres.
So over multiple turns.
Because the base is 2 centimetres wide.
Yeah, reset each time.
Yep. Flanks. To hit a unit in the flank, the bulk of the charging unit must be within 45-degree arc of that side of the target unit. Pretty simple. That dictates the flank. If there is a debate. Again, that's why I'm here. Say, judge, is this in the flank or not? And I will give you a ruling whether it is or not. Okay. Fight to front. So stands must directly fight to their front if possible, engaging the stands in which they have the longest edge-to-edge contact. If two enemy stands are of equal length, they can choose which one to engage. Corner to corner only occurs when there's no other alternative. So basically, stands must fight to front. Makes combat very simple, because there's not only characters really choose where the dice goes. Unless you have that stand, which is equal distance to 2, which is, that's happening. Fallback. In the event of a drawn combat, fallback moves can only move sideways or backwards. So if you've drawn a combat, you can't fall back forwards. Okay, you roll off the two moves first. Obviously, remember, at the end of the combat phase, units that fall can reform. So, terrain. Okay, so, terrain. I will go around the tables and talk about the terrain. Because obviously, if you come in to ask me a ruling on terrain, I will tell you now what I believe the terrain to be, but I can only rule the terrain and what I see it as right now. So really, you should agree with the terrain before your opponent, just recap on it, because that is the most common thing of a rules dispute, is someone's thinking a terrain is one thing when it's like another is thinking it the other, and then it matters in the game. So I will come round after this and say, okay, this is what I would play this terrain as. Scouting. So on your army list, which I will be coming round to look for, as an army list, you have a scouting value. And George, is it just you who doesn't understand the scouting?
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, you donate units to be a scout. Okay. If they're flyers, they get 3 points, and that's also any unit of flying character or flyers on a flying mount plus weight watchers if you have wood elves. So every unit of flyers you put forward is 3 points. Every unit of scouts is worth 2 points. That's any unit of cavalry with 0 or 6 armour, and then Pacific Rangers, Gutter Runners, Ethereal Hosts, Dryads, Centaurs, Yetis, non-flying command 10 characters. Anything of that you put forward is worth 2 points. Patrols. Any unit of cavalry with 5 plus armour, which is Gladeguard, non-flying command, 9 characters, and pickets, which is half a point, which any unit of shooting infantry with 0-6 armour, and non-flying command, 8 characters. So the best thing is you annotate on your army list what you put forward for scouts, and you have a scouting value. That can't change. That's part of your army list, which you then take to the next other rounds, etc. It gives you a total score, which you then, at the start of the game, you roll 2 dice, add your scouting value against your opponents. The winner chooses the table side and puts their scouts down first, anything they've put forward first. The opponent, that's on the clock. The opponent, on his clock, sets up his army. Then the first person who won the scouting roll, on his clock, sets up the rest of his army. What it does is it really speeds up setup of Warmaster, because otherwise it takes ages. And it doesn't need to. Okay? First question. Understood? So let's just walk around the tables now, and I will say, okay, what would I think the scenery to be?
You going to sing?
Hello, hello. Yeah. So, end of round one, results. So, we've got 16 players in the event, and me an additional to be the 17th player, which is perfect. 8 games done. 2 finished on the... 2 ran out of time, and some were very close. So, but
that'll happen round one.
That'll happen.
It won't happen again, hopefully, for that.
No, I hope not. Yeah, and interesting results, definitely. I was like well impressed by Alex Janaway beating Nick. It's a massive Tomb King army. That was, because Janice is not using the best thing at Witch Hunters, and he's managed to get a win there. So
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I don't even know what it is.
How was your game, Barry?
It was good. I played Christoph. He had some fantastic new revolutionary orc tactics. He set up like in square formations.
In square?
So is that what it's called? Where you have like a unit and then a gap and then a unit behind them and you have them like a checkers board.
Checkers board, like, yeah, castling, like, you know, crenellations.
Yeah, with characters intermingled between.
Checkered board formation.
And the game went pretty much as I expected, but it was nothing like he expected, because for some reason, he seems to think that orcs don't have problems with orders. And he was shocked when his army did nothing and just got picked apart. Whereas that's what happens every time I play orcs, and that's why I find them so frustrating, because I love orcs. Orcs are one of my favourite races in fantasy, but I just can't get the buggers to work. And I was hoping he'd show me how to... He certainly showed me some tactics, but same as ever. He lost 14-4, and...
I got the results here.
Spot.
So, Barry, you scored 750 points. He scored 280.
Yeah. So he hit a brigade and...
Mm-hmm. In fact, Christoph is last, because he only got 1 point.
No, Christoph, no. You can come back for this, sir. You can do it. Now, I've set you up for a good strength of schedule run.
There you go.
Crush them all.
Everyone's eating lunch. We will eat lunch. And
so tell them the results. Tell them the results.
Okay, so Barry beat Christoph. Alex Janaway beat Nick. Tony beat Andrew. Tom beat Phil. George,
look at the high elf score there. Holy moly.
1,092 points against Bretonians. George beat Graham. Jeffrey beat Rodders. Jim, the biggest score, 1,275.
That's 1,275 out of 2,000.
Yeah, versus Justin.
And he must have had 500 points in characters. That's I don't know what he had left.
Kislev versus Orcs and Goblins.
So he must have had 500 points in characters, Jim. What did he have left on the bloody table?
He really just
had
his infantry left.
Just his infantry left.
Or Goblin infantry.
I mean, I took down some of his infantry as well.
Yeah. And then lastly, Shane beat Stuart. But it's really nice. It's the 8 tables. All the sceneries come from players. And they look lovely. Fantastic. I mean, this whole I'm going to have to decide which table looks nicest thing is going to be tricky, because it's not like...
I've already decided. I'm going to look around. But for me, so far, there's a clear best painted.
Yeah.
But I haven't looked around yet. We've got freehand banners and stuff going on.
That takes some beating. But we will obviously give it everything a look. But yeah, we're going to go eat lunch now and play round 2.
Okay, and we'll come back. So this tournament, if you lose, you're done. So one down, 2 to go.
Go. Everybody gather round and then we'll get out of here, etc. Is anybody downstairs?
No, I don't think so.
Right, first of all, thanks very much for coming. That was great. Like, did you enjoy it?
Yeah,
cool. Points are on the floor. Anything we could easily improve, considering with our max?
change
core rules, right.
Change
support rules.
I would say when you come over to a rules thing, you don't stop the
clock. Ooh.
That's true.
Okay, that would mean that some games might finish more
off well yes. known, should they should all have a hard finish because if they all kick off
that is a thing okay. I mean yeah, we're lucky that Andy's been quite nice to us okay fair one anything else
Van Janus
Van Janus right so first there's two prizes to do first best painted I had a look at the armies and I think Christoph's is incredibly nicely painted so what I have for that is Christoph, you can fish for prizes out of here, okay? Like, if there's things you want out of there, first of all. Then after you finish fishing from that, best table, I'm going to give, you know, Nick brought two lovely tables. I know his Tomb Kings one was really good, but I really like the green one there. So Nick, I think you've got best table as well. So, like, there you go. So you can fish the stuff out of here. And then once, and if you just pause a sec, because then we can do that in our own time. Okay, so.
Is there as much stuff I can fit in my hands?
Well, considering you'll leave stuff for like other tournaments, so the things you want in there, it's freebies I've got. Okay, so the top three. So obviously, strength of schedule has done in as in one person who, because there would be a final that we would play, but we just don't have the time to do it. I'm afraid. That's what we said going into it. So in third place is Jim Beach with Kislev.
Yay!
Okay, well done. So in second place is Barry Pittman with his High Elves. Leaving the prize of first is yet again Alex Janaway with Witch Hunters. Yay! Well done, well done. So that would have been the final if we could have the time to play it, etc. So the trophy, Janice, you hold on to it again. Are you happy to hold on to it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's your name. Right, there you go. So yeah, that's what that is. We'll do this twice a year here, exactly the same format as you see. Tri-Wizard stuff, they want to speak about that. Yep.
So guys, as the companion tournaments to this one in Colchester, we run two Tri-Wizards here. Which we do in March and in November. So our next one is November the 12th, 13th, Saturday. It's in Saffron Walden, if you know, so it's just south of Cambridge. And very much the same kind of format, three games throughout the day, but the one big difference is there's no clocks in our format of the game.
Well, there are clocks, it's just a different type of clock.
It's a different type of clock.
We've tried to run the hard stop rule, which is the timeout we've done. Jim, anything else you want to add to that?
12th of November.
12th of November. Any other rules, issues? But no. Cool, done.
Yeah, yeah, cool. So yeah, the next event that I'm doing is the one that our sponsors want us to run, Caves of Rushforth, which is in October, the first weekend of October at the Derby War Games Show, which is we are doing as a 2-day thing. But to, you know, if we don't get enough players for it to be a said event, it will just be casually playing War Master all weekend. Okay, so not so bad.
But if you get four, you can still have an event.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's good prizes.
Yeah. Well, KR will be, basically, if you turn up, you'll probably get a KR case. But yeah, that's what it is. I mean, it's good. They came out of nowhere to sponsor us, and that was one of the things they wanted us to do. Thus, we do it. Okay. The first weekend, so that's the...
First and second
of October. I've never been to the Derby War Games Show. I don't know what it's like. I think it's a lot of historical stuff. I don't know. But if you don't try to do something, it never happens. Yeah, anyway. Well, there we go. Right, that's everything.
Cool.
Thanks very much for bringing your stuff. Thanks for playing.
Thank you.
I will put this online. You can see the results here.
Hello. So,
I'm driving.
So we're
driving. Oh, God, holding.
Yeah. So we're driving back from Colchester.
With Christoph and Phil again
in the car.
Shotgun, as always.
Well, so we can do this, isn't it? Right, okay. So we finished the thing. It went very well, I think.
Yeah, it went really well. Not much silliness.
No rage quitting. I had one or two rules disputes I was like struggled to deal with, but overall was fine. And we had an absolute winner, and that was Alex Janaway again.
It wasn't an absolute winner.
Well, this is in like it, that's we should have had a final, because we didn't have the fourth round to play, which basically Alex Janoway got first, Barry took second, and Jim took third.
Yeah. An unbeaten second.
Yeah, an unbeaten
second. An anomaly in itself, but that's the way the system worked.
Yeah. So if we'd have had another round, the final would have been Barry versus Alex Janoway, and would have, if all bets are off, take the title. Would have been really good to see, but
that's trying to tell me they were a tier 3 army.
Yeah. So yeah, Jan has won with Witch Hunters.
So there was a point in the last game where it was close. Jim only had one break left.
Yeah.
And he needed to get his cavalry in, and he rolled.
Jim was using Kislev.
And a 10, and didn't move, and then Alex managed to snipe off the unit he needed to win.
Yeah.
So everything came up Alex Janus.
Yeah. I mean, you have to say he's just good, isn't he?
He is.
Because like, you know, a lot of people wouldn't have credited that army with having much competitiveness, really. Like, compared to, like, it's a worse Empire list, but he managed to get the results with it. Like, I can't deny that.
So yeah, it was good. Best painted was Christoph.
Yes.
With an incredibly painted
fantastic freehand design on the banners. I love that.
Even like dags and stuff, or orcs. Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, and I gave the table award to Nick Wakeley because he not only brought the Tomb Kings table that had won it last time, but he brought another table. So he basically brought two tables. And I love he'd done an interesting idea where you, like, the trees, he'd like made the forest. It's like they're all like a foliage on top.
Was that here? So you could go underneath them?
Yeah. Yeah, so you could take the whole lot away and have a base. It was really, looked really nice, but also, like, was really practical. Yeah. I really liked it. Because I wouldn't have given him the award again because he'd already won it last time. But then he brought another table. I was like, well, there you go. Like, Cavs have...
No arguing. So, Jan has won $100 of Eureka goodies.
Yes.
Some gold dice and big bad boy Kaiser 1.
Kaiser Rushforth.
The Kaiser 1 that we've got.
Yes.
Very nice. Holds two armies.
Yeah, yeah. Or one goblin army.
Or one break 16 goblin army.
Yeah, it was a really interesting army. The most common army was orcs and goblins, actually.
Three,
and there was a goblin army as well. So it's kind of pseudo goblin.
Real men play goblin.
Real men, yeah. And my pick of interesting armies, it was nice to see a Kislev army, nice to see a Witch Hunters army, obviously, and then what else stood out? Norse, yeah. I don't even know what Norse do. I'm glad I had to look at like an army list there when I asked a rules question about them. I was like, what do Norse do?
Don't know.
Yeah, like, don't know. But
I might as well talk a little bit about my game. So game two, I played Lizardman. I played Tony. I played him in Book of War Master 1. Yeah. I think he might have had two Stegodons in that list and no priests. And this time he had one Stegodon and two priests. So a much better balanced list, four cold ones. And I won the game with 54 seconds left. I managed to get him dinged up. I think he had a break of 9. I got 8 of them relatively quickly. And then he bunkered down into a corner and kept Mazuma's revenging anything I had within charge range while his Stegodon just ate my Reavers. So that was by the skin of my teeth, I managed to win 9-4 with 54 seconds left. That's by far the closest I came to losing. On the clock, which feels horrible because you're miles up in a game.
Yeah.
But I know what's going to happen. I know I'm going to lose.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of debate again about the clock system. Is it good? Is it bad? I still stand that it is the most practical to use for a tournament, in the sense that we have warm food for lunch. That means you know when it's going to be and it's ready on time, and thus the most like time playing in the day. The Triwizard like is going to be the next singles event that we'll play in, which is in November. They will have just general round time, and if they, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, like, this is a question we've like talked about a lot on the podcast before.
I don't think there is a right answer. I think it's just that it's different.
This is what we're choosing to do, or I'm choosing to do. That's what they're choosing to do. Is one better than the other? You can pick good and bad points about both. Yeah.
So what it does make you do, and what it certainly made me do, is I just didn't bother doing anything but the general for like 3 successive turns. Just general, order, that's it, move on. No shooting, no anything, unless I was going to win the game and didn't do it.
Yeah.
Because if you initiate a combat on your turn, you have to see that combat out. You can't just say I'm stopping now.
Yeah.
You've got to do the whole combat, and if that means you run out of clock, you lose.
Yeah, exactly.
So it came down to me getting two orders off on a single sand of Silver Helm, so that was on a 8 and a 7, and then throwing in my single Silver Helm against a cold one knight, and I threw in my dragon and managed to get it. And that was it.
Yeah.
And then so that's two wins, and then round three I was against Jeff, who'd been unbeaten with his goblins. God damn, that's hard.
Yeah.
Unbeaten, so break 16 goblins.
Because he came to that event speaking to him about that list with an interesting idea. It's like, his goblin army is by far the biggest army, but his thing is like, well, you've got an hour and a quarter of your time to come and break my army, like, have a go. You know, like, and Barry, to his credit, like, did it in relative, you know, you weren't hard up on time for that one.
No, that was short order because I put four units of Silver Helms in on turn two,
yeah,
and they ate eight units of goblins. Who then have crazy rules like they can't charge elves because they're scared.
Yeah.
So it's behind his lines, yeah, and he couldn't use initiative, and he's got leadership 7, yeah, with stuff behind his lines. So it was just a matter of time, really, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a hard counter, but it shows, like, I think people lose out on the clocks early on. Like, they spent too long doing less important stuff, like overthinking things. It's like, that's what I found. Like, yeah, you're right. If you have to cut straight back to what wins you the game, like, only do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you have to do.
So I think game two. So game three, I won about 9-4, and game three, I won 16-1, which is ridiculous. But I don't quite know what to say. It was just like, there was the worst possible matchup for goblins because of the fact that they scared of elves, and also there was like literally no terrain for him to put his goblins in.
Yeah.
So they were just like sitting targets. Beautiful silver helms to mow down.
Yeah.
So, but they're all great games. All my three opponents were great. Christoph, and then Tony, and then Jeff at the end.
I don't think there was any like bad spirit amongst anybody recognised at all. Because what we got with that event there is that it was 16 players, so that means it needs to be four rounds. Well, you can't expand it like much further because you could have more players playing. You could have up to 32 in that shop at one go, but you can only fit three games in a day. And if you made it to 2 days, well, a lot of the guys have kids, they're not going to get 2 days off work or 2 days off from family. So it thus can't, you know, like, I'm really happy. It's like, I created this thing, and it's like, it's a really nice place it's in. I've got to talk someone into running said event for me so I can play in it.
That would be nice.
That would be good. Maybe
I'll do it. Maybe I'll.
But today, like, a big shout out to George and Graham from our club because they didn't know how to play and they came down and I taught them the first round.
That's another point. Janus, you spawny git. So Janus is round two. He played Graham, who's one of Paul's new players, who played literally a game.
Yeah.
Training game, and then he gets to play Janus in round two. He gets absolutely.
It's a bit like the British tennis player who somehow qualifies, gets in first round of Wimbledon, and gets put against the Federer. It's like next. It's like welcome to the big leagues. Like, welcome. But anyway, that's how it felt. That was exactly because the Swiss tourney means there's no and even numbers means it's very clear who plays next, and that's how it felt.
Yeah.
So. That would be, I mean, perhaps, you know, I might look to someone. Could someone from our club literally turn up to input the data and run said event? I mean, the how to answer rules questions, it's tricky, but I don't know. Like, I'd love to play my own event, though, because that's the thing. It's like,
you can't win it, though.
Well, I probably wouldn't anyway, but I'd try. You know, like, but watching all the games today, it's like, I'd much rather be a player, but if, you know, somebody has to create the thing.
The one thing I would say that's come out of this again today was playing Christoph and playing Jim, and they're both very experienced players and they've been playing forever and they've played millions of games or whatever. There's still some anomalies, there's some clarification needed around pursuits because there's lots of things that are just slightly different. That we just need a document, Jim. Make the document, Jim, so that we can say this is how you do it in this order, and it's done, and there's no calling Paul over all the time.
Yeah.
Suits.
Yeah. I mean, if we created a very robust like aid memoir to it that you just follow, then that would be the best thing. But see, no one's getting paid for this, so ultimately, like, comes at its own. It'll come organically at its own time.
Crystal, Phil, do you want to say anything? Don't feel like you have to.
I really enjoyed myself. So.
Yeah.
It was a good day and
I'm a bit nervous. I'm on the podcast.
Christopher was telling me we get people listening to us as far away as like Sweden and Poland and stuff. It's like, so there we go. Yeah, like.
I like the Polish beer. I think Polish beer is good.
Yeah.
Well done. Well done, Poland. Beer.
Right, anyway, that's everything we've got to say about it, I suppose.
Yeah, we're going for curry now.
We're going for curry, yeah. And
we're going to be home by.
So we're going straight out to the curry house, eat, and we'll speak to you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
So we're back now after a little break, and you've heard the gumph.
Holy bat chunks, Batman!
Yeah, a wee bit of that.
Who's Robin?
So we need to apologise a little bit on behalf of Paul. That he seemed to make some cock-ups with the old strength of schedule. It is an annoying thing to do on a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
You do need software generally to do it.
Yeah.
So I spent this morning while he was getting jabbed at hospital.
Yeah, I had a third and final to avoid mad people disease.
Mad people disease. So I he brought the results over, so I've put the results into
the important thing is top 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, you got that right.
Yeah, I got that right.
You got that right.
Yeah.
Alex won on 12 points with 29 strength of schedule, and his total VP scored were 2745, and I came second with 12 tournament points, 29 strength of schedule, and 2720 VPs.
Amazing. I mean, like, literally 25 points. That's less than
a goblin. Worse than that.
That's less than a goblin.
It's worse than that, because all the way along, I've been giving my opponents no points. So, Christoph scored 9 points, and that's because I only gave him 1 point. Mm. So, normally you can lose, and you can get 0 points, 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah.
So, he got 1.
Yeah.
My second opponent, Tony, I gave 2 points.
Yeah.
And my third opponent, Jeff, I gave 1 point.
Yeah. So you could have easily been higher strength of schedule.
Yeah, so if I'd have given any more of them any more points, my strength of schedule would have gone up.
You'd have to play big to, like, okay, you can have some of this.
Yeah, you have a little bit more.
You have to play really big then.
Yeah, that's true. You would never do it.
Well, as I say, like, you'd have to balls.
Another interesting
brass fucking balls there.
You wouldn't need brass balls. And another interesting thing is, at the beginning of the day, I think you'd suggested that we did victory points lost.
Mm.
So how many victory points you gave away while winning?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Again, I'd have beat you on that, Alex.
Basically,
Alex
just sneaked in the win, because at the end of the third round, he's just the tiniest fraction ahead of Barry. And I'd love to have seen the final, personally.
Less than 1%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes less than 1% in victory points. And in the 3 events now that we've won, so that's like January.
So, January Tri-Wiz.
No, January was yours.
January mine. Doubles.
And then this.
Yeah.
I've only lost once, and it was to Janice.
This is starting to get like tennis, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, like,
I'm going to grudge match you.
Yeah, yeah.
Round one.
You can't avoid you. Yeah.
So bang. Get it done.
Now. That's it. Well, that's the way to do it, definitely.
That's the way to do it.
Grudge him at Tri-Wiz in November.
Yeah, and that's done.
Stand by, and I'll grudge you for round two.
I don't think you can grudge round two.
But, like, I'll grudge Jim.
Yeah,
like,
go on, get it on.
Be like, break him too. Right,
but well played. He's a fine champion.
Yeah, he
and you need a bit of luck.
Yes, indeed. I was obviously reffing all. And by the third round, less rules questions were being asked. So I was watching most of the 1 and 2, which was Alex versus Jim. It was a great game. It was really interesting play. Yeah, like, because...
But there was that turn where Jim, it was Jim's turn to smash him in the face.
Yeah,
he rolled 10 and 10.
Yeah,
and
Jim was looking like he was going to win. Like, and...
You need that luck.
Yeah, you need that luck. Because Janna's, to his credit, was using Witch Hunters. That is, I mean...
Are they bad or are they good?
Well, Janna's is OP, but, like, Witch Hunters aren't considered good.
It'd be interesting to look at the...
So I'll just read out the results here. So Alex Janaway won the event with Witch Hunters. Barry Pittman came second with High Elves, and Jim Beach came third with Kislev.
The main Kislev, not tournament.
Main Kislev. And then everybody else was.
So we got Rodders, Dark Elves, Tom, High Elves. Elves are OP.
Yeah. Tony, Lizardman.
Lizardman OP.
Jeff Goblins.
Good on you, Jeff, man.
Jeff.
Although funny, I don't know if I mentioned, he played me game 3, Jeff. I played Tony game 2, Lizardman. And I won with 54 seconds left. But Jeff, game 3, we played on the table with no scenery.
Well, little scenery.
Very little scenery. His army was across the whole back of the board.
A line across the table.
There wasn't a single inch that didn't have a goblin on it. And he's got special rules that mean he can't initiate charge elves.
Fear elves.
So when my silver helm smashed in on turn 2, It was just, it was horrific.
February,
stuff everywhere. He was cutting off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor Jeff.
Poor Jeff. Mick came 10th with Tomb Kings. Andrew, 11th. Orcs and Goblins,
you're
I think.
You're making it up. That's not 10th.
Oh, no, sorry. I'm reading that wrong, aren't I? Yeah.
So
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Tony was 6th. Jeff, 7th. Nick, 8th. Yeah. Andrew, 9th.
Yeah. Phil used Bretonians.
So 10th. Christoph,
Orcs and Goblins. George, My Dwarves. Justin, Orcs and Goblins. Shane, can't remember. Orcs and Goblins?
What's the list? I'll make, before I load this up, I'll put the race in as well.
Yeah.
Before I upload it later on today.
Yeah. And great. And then Stuart, I can't remember what he used, and Graham used My Dogs of War, came last.
Andrew's used Albion, wasn't he?
Oh, yes, it was an Albion. Yes, and a Norse.
Oh, yes, and a Norse. And lots of Orcs.
Yeah. Orcs. Don't worry about it, it's like, yeah, it'll be linked on the...
I'll load it up later to the Facebook page or something. Right, good.
So the next event is in... That worked really well. I think everyone was really happy. Everyone looked like the prize support was great. Jan has walked away with a bounty of prizes. He got the best KR case.
He did.
The $100 Australian dollar check for Eureka, which is most of an army, really.
The Simbling gold dice.
Yeah, Simbling gold dice. He would have had a book if we'd got it as well.
I got the Simbling silver dice.
And it was good. Yeah, so the next event we'll be playing in, or are we playing in, is this Derby one that our sponsors KR want us to run at the Derby War World Wargame Show. Again, that might just be literally a bunch of us turning up, not having enough to run an event and playing Warmaster all weekend. What a burden. But we will try. I mean, if we get four people, we've got an event.
With
three prizes. Brilliant.
And a trophy.
Take your case. But you've got to try. You've got to attempt it to try and see what happens. It'll be a good recce for future years anyway. And then the next one, the singles one that we're playing in is the... Well, that's singles as well, Derby. But then it's the Tri-Wizard one in November. It'll be game on because I want that title.
That's it. And then we'll be able to look through. Because like some of the things like... Did you know the Witch Hunter special rules? Yeah. Special magic items? Some of them look pretty good.
Pretty good.
Did you see them?
No.
Okay, you need to look at them.
Yeah.
Because I think one of the massive bonuses about this game is how clean and clear and simple things are. So there's a list of special items.
Yeah.
There aren't many. They're unusable.
Yeah.
So you know what they are. They're not bonuses. Yeah. These witches have got six items.
Yeah.
And one of them was like some... If you do... Janice.
The way I would push in our scene, our list to go, is I would cut it down to one list per race. That's what I would do.
So what would you do with Witch Hunters?
Well, I'm afraid they're part of Empire, and Empire is the list, so I wouldn't have them.
Okay, so, for example, I know that he used this one. Mm-hmm. Right, so I'm going to read it out. Just
go on.
Because you won't know it.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, Mirror of the Damned, 40 points. Mm-hmm. That's quite a lot of points. Enemy attacks against the unit that the characters joined that roll a 1 to hit inflict a hit against themselves with no armor save.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
Pretty good. So say, Yeah, that's pretty good. This item may only use once for battle and affect the combat phase. Hits inflicted in the way towards combat. So if you roll in and it's like a really important battle.
Yeah.
They roll a load of dice, they're going to get some ones. They're straight hits. There's no armor save, there's no anything.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
That swings combat math. Okay, and there was another one. Standard of the Righteous. 20 points this is. Mm-hmm. The unit, whole unit, may choose to re-roll all of their shooting or close combat attacks once per game. This includes attacks that hit and bonuses from items and spells, etc. Yeah. So if you have that one turn, there was a turn today I attacked with 22, and I did two hits. Of which one was a wound. Now that one was the one that you'd spend your 20 points to roll those 22 dice again and get your 11. Which you should be wrong.
I see.
Things like this, they may not be anything.
I didn't pick up that the Witch Hunters had items, but as I say, why do they have unique items?
I don't know, but why do they have six of them?
Well, exactly. Like, why do they have any? Like, no other army does.
Well, it's Teclis's staff or whatever.
Yeah.
An Aerion sword or what? Yeah. I don't know. I don't like stuff like this generally.
That's what I'm saying. So that's, because it's. it seems like it's not balanced. It's in terms of like, well,
and this is not taken away from Alex's win.
No,
fair play to him.
Yeah, the list is
and the list is the list is the list. The list is legal.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't know why there's so much going on in this list.
And that's why I would cut it down to a list. There's no need to have three Araby armies. Why? Yeah, like
I
have one.
I've said that before, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. Right. Anyway, so I just thought I'd bring it out because stuff like that.
Yep.
We would never have come across. Because how long is it going to be before I get to playing on this list? I don't know.
Quite a long time.
Quite a long time. But they're a tournament list, though.
Yeah, at the moment, they're around. Yes. Yeah,
yeah, but they're like second tier list.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they'd be on the next wave. After we've done them. Still got six to do on the main. You've got to do Skaven soon.
I could play it, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's no problem.
You keep saying that.
But, yeah, no, but this, I wasn't going to use Skaven at this because I don't want to give you the drinks.
Right, so next week we're going to do, it's going to be quite a short one because we've got some stuff to put in. We're going to be doing
Demon Army review. I'll probably use Skaven against you.
Oh, you're going to get smashed.
Yes, but it's the learning curve.
My God. Pillow fisting rats are going to get mulched by this. Dirty demons.
Is it tournament list or vanilla?
I'm undecided. I find them both.
It's your
boring.
Review is both, isn't it? Yeah, it's both lists. It's not. Yeah. Okay.
So there's not a great deal of changes.
You can't say a lot. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Okay. But.
But yeah, we'll cut it short because you've got a lot of recording as well, and don't want to spoil all our listeners.
No. I'm kind of one thing I would say about just the last point of War Machine Mark III. I'm enjoying it. I think.
Oh
that,
right, that's that. Yep.
Sorry, I should have said this right at the beginning. I like pre-measuring in general. I think it's cool. I think with Signar especially and Legion and other things, it makes the shooting
affects them more.
Yeah, because you're not wasting any shots. It's like 100% pure. You know, this one here, bing. This one here, bing. This one here, bing. And you're always at the extreme.
I start with the back second rank of guys because if they potentially kill the what, then the other ones can fire further.
Yeah,
it's like you get maximized stuff massively. I killed a heavy circle heavy. With a unit of trencher commandos and a hunter, like from fresh.
Bing. But nobody's missing.
No, it's like you just this one can aim. This one can like get the perfect measurement here.
Yeah. It's weird. I think they might need to going further forward. They might need to make shooting less accurate because what they've done over the three editions is made shooting more accurate.
You've
given perfect information.
Being able to aim with pre-measure is a bit too strong.
Like, not to say.
Yeah.
Because now they've given things like flare.
Yeah. Yeah, to signal.
Yeah, it's like so now I'm hitting on like +6.
Like,
I can be hitting into combat.
I give you an example. I played the game I won against Dan, Mold the Ancient, who isn't a bigger thing anymore. Kate got into combat with me, had to like go into combat because I had polarity field him, he couldn't charge. And I got a gun mage captain arrow behind him, flared him. It was so easy for me to shoot him in combat. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
He was in combat.
That's the problem. So I think there's a danger that the game warps around gun lines so much that you end up having to play either a gun line list or a big armor list.
Or something that can deal with a gun line list.
Won't be another gun line.
Yeah,
generally.
But that might become the new, like in Mark II I was always teching against Cricks. Mark III might be teching against the gun line.
Well, it will, but then the game could just end up like a variant of 40k where you're just like baselining each other, like in tennis, just bing, 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 bing.
Hopefully the scenarios stop that happening. Yeah, hey. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm liking the game, but I think I'm not sure it's as balanced as I'd
like
it to be.
Overall, we feel as a community of players, like in our club, that Mark III PP could have done the release of it all better. It's not awful, but it could have been better. We'll say that. I mean, because they're
I'm looking forward to Mark IV.
Like their rulebook, which is lovely, by the way, very nicely done, is out of date, and it's just come out because an errata is coming out, so the rulebook's out of date.
Again, I'd rather they did that than didn't.
Let's
talk about another company that would have something in the rulebook and they just ignore it. Just pretend like it didn't happen and people would be saying, can you tell us what to do? Yeah. And it's like, decide between yourselves.
D6 it.
Yeah, D6 it. Brilliant. So I'd rather they came out and made it right as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
But a bit of external playtesting wouldn't have gone amiss. I don't think
they really playtested it for 4 years, did they?
They did.
Yeah.
But that could just be me and you in my bedroom. Playtesting. Games need external playtesting.
They need someone who've no hang-ups, no prior agenda coming in and just looking at it critically and going, why can't I just do that?
And the bigger issue is that when you're playing, like me and Paul, or you're playtesting a game, yeah. You play friendly.
Yeah,
of course you play in the spirit of the game.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not some like rules lawyer trying to bend the rules to your will.
Exactly.
Which is what happens when you lease it into the wild world. You get all these crazy people that just read rules and want to break the game, basically.
Cool.
Right. So a bit too much War Machine. We'll try less War Machine in future.
But it's just something that's brand new. If like a new pack of if Magic had changed dramatically, we're talking about Magic, wouldn't we?
It's true.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Right. So that was War Master Podcast episode 24.
Yes. Back to usual pegging for an army review next time.
With demons, do it.
Dirty demons.
Right. Good night.
Yeah, the letter opens.